This is a People First Radio podcast.
Teenager Janelle Van Dongen is bringing youth together to make a difference in her home region of Oceanside on Vancouver Island. Inspired by similar groups for adults in the area, she started 100 Kids for Change Oceanside. The group meets every 3 months. Everyone brings $10 to the meeting, and they vote for a local charity. The charity that gets the most votes gets everyone's donations. 100 Kids for Change has been active for more than a year, and with some help from the community, they've just passed the $1,000 mark for the first time with their most recent donation. I spoke with Van Dongen to get the story behind 100 Kids for Change Oceanside.
My name is Janelle Van Dongen, and I'm the founder and chair of 100 Kids for Change Oceanside. I'm a grade 12 homeschool student from the Neuse Bay, and I love living on the island. We live really close to the ocean, and I live with my family and our pup Rex, and yeah, here in the Neuse.
And you said there you're the founder of 100 Kids for Change Oceanside. How did that get started? What made you decide to found it?
Well, it was inspired by two local groups that we have here in Oceanside. We have 100 Women Who Care Oceanside and 100 Fine Gentlemen of Oceanside Who Give a Damn. And those are two organizations that are in the global 100 people movement. And so I saw the work that they were doing in Oceanside, and I thought, wow, this is a really cool thing. And wouldn't it be neat if we could do that, but for kids? And so that's what inspired 100 Kids for Change. So simply put, we're a group of youth who meet four times a year. We each bring a $10 bill, and then we pool the money and nominate and vote on a local charity that we want to give our collective donation to.
And I understand a big part of it is at the meetings, everyone kind of, they come with a $10 bill, and they also have to do a little bit of research, come with a charity in mind that they want the donation to go to. And then you like pick a few people, and each one of them has to kind of stand up and say, this is why I think we should give the money to this group. And you vote, and that's who gets all the money. That's how it works.
Yeah, you got that pretty good. So yes, our members have the opportunity to nominate local charities to receive 100 Kids donations. So all of the charities that we have supported, we've supported six different charities because we just recently held our sixth meeting. Each one of those charities was nominated by one of our members. We have members, our youngest is 6 years old, our oldest is 18, and we accept members up to 19 years old. So once you hit your 19th birthday, then you can join one of the other organizations. So our members get to nominate different charities that they would like to support. And then we put all the nominations in a basket and we draw three at each meeting. And then those three members come up to the front of the room and they deliver a little bit of a presentation about why they think this charity should be supported by 100 Kids. And then once their presentations are complete, we all get a ballot. All the members of 100 Kids get a ballot, and we vote by secret ballot on which charity out of the three presented at this meeting will receive the winning donation. So yeah, it's a neat kind of system. You described it well there. Yeah, that's how it works.
And you said you've done this six times now. What are some of the groups that you've supported?
Oh, let's see. This is a memory tester for me. So our first donation went to the North Island Wildlife Recovery Center. Our second donation went to the Society of Organized Services, or the SOS, in Parksville. You may know them from their thrift store. Our third donation went to the Parksville Museum. And then our fourth donation of 2024 went to the BCSBCA. And then we've had two meetings this year, and we'll have two more still coming up. But the two charities that we've donated to this year have been, what is the first one? The first charity that we donated to was the Bradley Center. And then it's a community center in Coombs. And then our most recent donation just went to the Hands and Hearts Food Program, which is formerly known as the District 69 Backpack Program. And so it's a food program for students in our school district, in the school district 69, or Qualcomm School District.
And what has the journey been like through that first year as far as, you know, saying, hey, we're going to found this, we're going to do this, and attracting members, that sort of thing? What does that look like between when you decided this was an idea and now that you've had six meetings?
It's crazy looking back on how much has changed over the last year and a bit. I first got the idea kind of in my mind in I think it was towards the end of summer in 2023, and there was a lot that had to happen before we could actually have our first meeting. So one of the first things that I did is reach out to the 100 women group and the 100 men group and sit down with them and kind of say, okay, I have this idea, but what does this look like logistics wise? What do you guys do at each of your meetings? What systems do you have set up for everything from how do you nominate charities? How do you manage your membership? All of those kind of logistics. So I sat down with them and talked to them to really get a sense of what this organization could look like. And then I approached the Parkes-Wolcolicum Community Foundation because as kids, it's difficult to open bank accounts and to manage money. So we reached out to them for financial, our money management support, our donation support. And then they also support us with our website as well. So I reached out to them and we kind of arranged a partnership where they could power 100 kids in what we do. And then it really is just from there, a lot of what we did was starting our Facebook page and really starting to connect with members, reaching out to people in the community to see if they would be interested in sharing 100 kids, arranging a meeting space, getting some of those initial assets put together, reaching out for a few sponsorships so that we could put on that very first meeting. And so at our first meeting, we had, I think it was just shy of 20 members in the room, and we donated $244 with our first donation. And now, 6 meetings later, we just had our sixth meeting on May 13th, and we had, I think it was just shy of 40 members in the room, and our members collected $540. And then we also receive matching donation from Rotary Club of Parksville. So that was arranged, I think, in August of last year. And so we are in total this meeting, we will be donating $1,080. And actually, we just held our check presentation. We actually got to hand over that money. And it's really special because it's our first $1,000 donation, over $1,000. And so, yeah, in total, since starting up in February of 2024, we have donated $3,584.50 in total, including all the sponsored or including all of the matching that we have received. And we've donated that back to the Oceanside community, which is really cool. So it's just astonishing looking back and seeing how much has changed, how much 100 Kids has grown, how many different events and different meetings we've held, how many different charities we've been able to support, and how all of it is because of the youth in 100 Kids, because of our members. We wouldn't be able to donate to these charities if they hadn't nominated them and if they hadn't raised the money to go to those charities. So it's really cool looking back to see how this whole journey has just been a tapestry of all of the passions of our members and how that's contributed to 100 Kids supporting the community.
Yeah, I'm interested in the idea that there's, on the one hand, there's the money, of course, the donations that you make. But the other part of it that you alluded to there is that you have to put in a little bit of work as far as like knowing what's going on in the community. And I'm wondering if you could tell me about that, either for yourself or for everyone in the group in general. Like, how has this impacted your awareness of what's going on in the community? And maybe has it made you feel like kind of more involved and more a part of what's going on in Oceanside?
You got it. You hit the nail right on the head. 100 Kids, we talk about this in 100 Kids, how it's not just about the money. It is so much more than that. There are so many different skills that our members are learning, and there's just so much to learn from being a member. And that's exactly right. Learning about the community is one of the big parts, one of the broader themes that we have in 100 Kids. And our tagline is "Be the Change," and so we talk about that. We call our members our change makers, and so it really learning more about your community helps empower you to become a change maker because you understand some of the issues that are going on, and you can find creative ways to support that. So yes, we've had It's neat. I've been doing some interviews with some of our members, and I've asked them a very similar question of like, what have they learned about the community? And I consistently hear one of the answers is, I didn't know there was this many charities in Oceanside. So we support charities who are registered with the CRA and who have a presence in the Oceanside area. And at each meeting, members are always learning about new charities that other members have come to present about. And then later at the meeting following, we bring in the previous winning charity to come and do a presentation about how our donation has helped them in whatever their area is and what the work that they're doing. So yeah, it's neat to hear how members are like, wow, there's just so many charities that they didn't know even existed in the community, but it's neat to see the work that they're doing and how they're supporting people right here in Oceanside, which is neat.
On that front, are there any specific things that you or maybe someone you've interviewed from the organization has said, like, whoa, I didn't realize this was an issue in Oceanside? Or, like, what are some of the specifics you've learned about the community that have really stuck with you as far as either maybe identifying like what some of the biggest issues are in Oceanside or identifying ways that community groups are helping out with problems you might not have even known existed?
Yeah. Oh, wow. What a broad and thoughtful question. One of the things that we just recently learned about that was really impacted me because I wasn't really aware of the program, but it was our most recent donation, which went to the Hands and Hearts Food Program. And so it's top of mind for me because we just recently donated to them. So we got to learn all about the work that they're doing. And it's really interesting to hear about some of the food security issues that are in our community and how those are being addressed. And we're fortunate we have a number of different organizations that are all working towards helping address these issues. And the Hands and Hearts Food Program is one of them. And they specifically focus on food insecurity in schools. And I think it was neat because the member who presented about the nomination at our previous meeting really touched on how there's kids in our community. We're kids. And so we're at this meeting and we're kids. And there's other kids in our community who may not have the same access to opportunities or even the same access to, I think the example that the member used was ice cream after dinner. You know, there's members who may not be as fortunate as the members who are in the room as 100 kids. And so I think that kind of example, it really opened our eyes up. It certainly opened my eyes up, and I think it really touched other members as well, because it's our donations do not have to go to a youth-focused charity. But when they do, I think it particularly hits home because it's you're realizing that there's people in our community who are really just like you and me who are also needing support. And this is one of the ways that they are receiving help. And to be able to contribute to that with our donation and to give back to people just like us, that's really special. So yeah, that would be my best answer to that. Like there's so many different charities and so many different programs, and I know we every meeting we're learning about new issues in the community and new creative ways that charities are finding to address those issues. So yeah, it's really neat.
You're listening to People First Radio. I'm Joe Pugh. My guest is Janelle Van Dongen, the grade 12 student from Nanoos, founded 100 Kids for Change Oceanside. It's a group that brings young people together to support local charities. Members meet every 3 months. Each of them brings a $10 donation and a charity to nominate. At every meeting, the group votes on a charity to support, and they combine their funds into one large donation. The group is open to kids under 18 from throughout the Oceanside region. There are also similar groups in the area for adults. 100 Women Who Care Oceanside and the 100 Fine Gentlemen of Oceanside Who Give a Damn. Earlier on, you talked about some of the logistical hoops you have to jump through to start up an organization like this, and how when you're doing it and you're a kid under 18, those hoops are maybe even bigger or higher. There's more you have to do. You're also mentioned that you're a grade 12 student. Do you have a succession plan in mind for 100 kids?
Yes, that is something that we have been talking a lot about recently. My current succession plan is I have a brother, Troy, and he's 5 years younger than me, and he is equally as active in 100 Kids. And he's interested in continuing on with 100 Kids once I age out of the organization, which is coming up quite fast. But it's neat because in 100 Kids, we in a way, we have a built-in succession plan because we have members from age is 6 to 18. So when older members age out, our younger members will be getting older, and we're always looking to recruit the next generation of younger members who kind of come in. And so it's this continuous thing. So we will always be, that's the change in 100 Kids for Change. There is constant movement throughout the organization because older people are aging out, younger members are coming in, and we will always be kind of shifting that succession to the next generation, which is neat. So yes, currently the plan is for Troy is really interested in taking on the main position, but we also have opportunities for other members to work behind the scenes in 100 Kids. We have some adult volunteers and mentors as well, but the bulk of the work that 100 Kids we do for 100 Kids is done by the members. So we have a donations manager who sits at the front table and takes the donations and from the members, and they collect it all up and counts it, and he packages it up and sends it to the community foundation where we get it made into a check. So we're learning about those kinds of that money management as well, that skill. Learning how to write checks, learning how to vote, learning public speaking skills, all of that behind the scenes work, a lot of it is done by the kids, which is really cool. So they're learning those skills at the same time as learning about the community, which is what I just love about 100 Kids.
If someone wants more information or they want to get involved, how are you recruiting people? Where can people learn more?
Yes, we've got a bunch of different ways that you can learn more. So the easiest is to go to our website, www.100kidsoceanside.ca. And on our website, you can also find our Facebook page, which is at 100 Kids Oceanside. So make sure to follow us there because we're always posting about what new things we're doing, our upcoming meetings and different events and such. So yes, you can learn there. Our membership form is also available on our website, so you can fill it out. If you are interested in becoming a member, we would love to have you as one in our 100. And our membership form can also be found on our Facebook page. And then if you have any questions about 100 Kids, feel free to reach out at our email. It's 100kidsoceanside@gmail.com. So you can find us there. And you can also reach out to us on Facebook, pop us a message on Facebook. We would love to hear from you. And we are just, yeah, we'd love to. We're always growing. We have currently reached 54 members. So we're halfway to 100. And we would love to finally reach that 100 member mark. But we won't stop at 100. So please come and join us. If you're interested in checking out one of our meetings just to see what we do, our next meeting is on August 12th. And the meetings run from 7 till 8 p.m. And so yes, come and join us. And we would love to have you as one in our 100.
Has your experience founding or running or seeing the work that's going on in the community, has that whole experience, that whole suite of things, has it given you any thoughts about the direction you want your life to take? Not to sound too dramatic, but once you age out of the organization, has it made you think of things you weren't thinking about before?
Absolutely. Yeah, 100 Kids has been... I keep thinking that 100 Kids has been one of the most incredible experiences and one of the most difficult experiences. There's definitely been some days where I've just been like, that's it. I'm quitting 100 Kids. This is too much. There's just like, I can't do it. But I'm so glad that I pushed through those days because it's so rewarding to see the result at each of our meetings and to see how, just to see the growth in our members. So yes, it for sure has impacted my current interests and my future interests as well. It's, I think one of the things that it's taught me is how much I love working with youth and how much I love, I don't know how to put it into words exactly, but how much I love being part of the process of seeing youth learn about their community and learn certain skills that will really help them in the future. So something that I'm also very passionate about is civic education or teaching people about different political systems in Canada. And it's neat that we get to do kind of the voting aspects of 100 kids where we get to do secret ballot and they get to learn. It's exactly like how it would work in any other election in Canada. You would learn about each of the parties or the charities that you're voting on, and then you would mark your choice by secret ballot. And they learned that not always the choice that you will mark down is the one that gets chosen, but there's always the opportunity next meeting for that charity to get chosen as well. So that's really cool. So yeah, that has definitely, it's been such an impactful experience, and I think it will definitely impact my future plans, whatever those may look like, just in what I'm interested in pursuing.
If you were able to talk to maybe the version of yourself from the past, right, when you were thinking of starting this, or really anyone who's ever just had this inkling of like, I want to do something big to make a positive contribution to the community, being where you are now a few years down the road into this, what would you say you've learned? What would be your like advice to someone at the beginning of that kind of journey?
I think I have two pieces of advice. The first one is, you mentioned a big thing that you can do in your community, but the small things matter too. Really, when you look at 100 kids, it's a whole bunch of tiny things that are happening at the same time that cause one big donation. So each member is only bringing one $10 bill, and all of those bills get pooled together. And it seems like magic when it happens, because one $10 bill doesn't seem like that much money, but when you pull them all together, it's that exponential growth that happens, and suddenly we have a $1,000 donation that is going to the community. So the first thing is, you don't have to be scared about a really big thing. You can do small things and they are equally as impactful, especially when one small thing leads to another small thing leads to another small bit thing, and they all build on top of each other. So that would be my first bit of advice, is just start small, do something. And then I guess my next bit of advice follows on the do something. Just do it. If you have the idea to do something in your community that you think would make a positive impact, go out there and be the change. That's what we say at 100 Kids at the end of each meeting, is like, until next meeting, change makers, go out there and be the change. And I've asked a few of our members about what be the change means to them. And I think that the reoccurring theme in all of their answers is just doing something about an issue, even when nobody else is doing something about it. So if you care about something in your community and you have an idea for something that you can do to help, just do it. Just go and be the change, because nobody else is going to be the change for you. You have to choose to do it. So those are my two bits of advice. Just do something. It doesn't have to be huge. It can be something small, but do something to be the change. I think that's how we make the world a better place.
Janelle Van Dongen, thank you so much for taking the time.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Joe. This is fantastic.
Janelle Van Dongen is the founder of 100 Kids for Change Oceanside.
People First Radio, People First Media, and People First Stories are community media projects of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society and are produced in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed do not necessarily represent the views of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society or its broadcast, podcast, and social media partners.